This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
What connects the following? A Japanese car maker, a UK stationery retailer, and an Italian rail operator. The answer is they've all fallen victim to costly cyber attacks in recent months. I'm Harry Brooks, content manager for ETFs, and today I'm talking to senior ETF specialist Ode Martin about the evolving threat of cybercrime. Ode, cybersecurity really rose up the agenda during the pandemic. COVID showed us how useful digital networks are, enabling us to work when we couldn't get to the office and to catch up with loved ones when we couldn't visit them. But it also highlighted our vulnerability to cyber criminals, with vaccine research facilities and hospitals targeted. How are governments responding to the threat of cyber attacks?
Absolutely, Harry. There's really been an increase in attacks over the past couple of years. And as you clearly mentioned, these attacks were against very important infrastructure, such as hospitals, for example. And this is something that we've witnessed globally. And this is really forcing and pushing governments to act. And they're acting not only by spending more money on cyber protection, but also by creating and pushing for new regulations coming in place. And the latest example for that are, for example, in the US in March earlier this year, what they did is that they are forcing companies that play a critical role in US infrastructure to expose themselves and to notify when they've been attacked. So they only have 24 hours to announce when they've been attacked, and they only have 72 hours to just notify that they paid the ransom if they did. So this only helps us, you know, showing how important it is to communicate around cyber attacks. And something else important to mention here is that only a few companies say it when they've been hacked. Usually it's not something that you want to say and mention. And that also creates an increase in spendings overall. So if you take the example of Australia, they are investing about $10 billion in their, you know, cybersecurity and security projects in order to ramp up a cyber protection. And this is something that we think we will see coming up globally as well.
Great. Are there any technologies that our listeners may already know about that hold promise to help address these problems?
Yes, there are. There are actually quite a few. So if you take the example of biometrics, we all have phones where we use fingerprints or facial recognition just to be able to access our own data. And these are actually cybersecurity protection. And this is a very important part of cybersecurity, which is, you know, how can you access the data, identification, multi-factor authentication. So companies such as Fingerprints and Ping Identity are able to propose and offer these type of cyber protection to make it more difficult for criminals to just access the networks or the data set in the first place. And this is actually very relevant for the zero trust infrastructure, which is a new type of, you know, infrastructure ensuring networks are protected from cyber criminals before they even enter any platform or any network, which is coming in place across every company. And this is really the realization that the traditional models that we used to have, that is assuming that everything and everyone on the network, you know, should be trusted, is no longer something that we can afford. As we know, cyber criminals now, in the way that they operate, they try to mimic a normal user. So they will, you know, connect at 8 or 9, like any user, for example, in a company, to enter the network. So there needs to be barriers at the entrance.
Absolutely. I know that new technologies can sometimes be a double-edged sword. They can provide new lines of defense for security providers, but also sometimes new ways for cyber criminals to exploit their targets. Can you give us an example of that?
Yes, I'm afraid there's many examples of that, but we'll focus on one now. But any new digital asset, any new technology is a new vulnerability that we're not aware of. So that creates an additional risk to being attacked. If you take the very basic example of blockchain, so blockchain is known, you know, as the technology behind Bitcoin, but now it's being expanded and used in healthcare and in gaming and other industries. But this is a new infrastructure, so there's new potential vulnerabilities that hackers come in and try to exploit. And if you take a recent example of when, you know, cryptocurrency had that happen, which is say dollar, this is basically cryptocurrency that is meant to be a fixed value against dollar, and it has dropped to zero. And this was because of a cyber attack. So this vulnerability was exploited. But at the same time, on the opposite side, blockchain is also an opportunity to strengthen cyber protection because it's decentralized and because members across distributed networks, there are several of them instead of just, you know, one network on a very centralized base. You lower the risk of some types of attacks, such as distributed denial of services. So you cannot have someone sort of flooding the network and not letting other users enjoy that platform.
Yeah. Another type of attack that has become a really big concern for anyone who runs a business, of course, is ransomware attacks. Just for anyone who's not already familiar with this type of threat, that's a cyber attack that blocks access to data using encryption. And it's unlocked only if a ransom is paid. And a prominent example last year was the attack on the Colonial Pipeline, which is the biggest a refined oil pipeline in the US, and that resulted in petrol pumps running dry in the southern states for several days, and President Biden declaring a state of emergency. Is there anything that we can learn from that attack and the response to it?
Yes, and you know, these types of attacks are actually the preferred type of operations for hackers because, you know, they just need to enter the system, block everything, and they just ask for money against the data being given back. And unfortunately, there's quite a lot of companies today and you know, even public institutions that feel pressure to pay the ransom to get back their data. And this is unfortunately what happened in that specific attack. So what happened is that $5 million were paid to get the decryption tool in order to access the data back. But unfortunately, this tool was not powerful enough. And so this created an issue over several days. They couldn't get their data back and their, you know, systems operating normally for some days. And that's why we heard a lot about it. And that's why as well, it created such damage in the US. And, you know, this is also a sign that we really need to build stronger threat intelligence tool and also cyber monitoring. It's really essential to detect those threats. But also on the other side as a response, so cyber incident response to identify, contain, and eliminate the threat. And I can give you the example of CrowdStrike. They have a Falcon tool, which basically leverages AI in order to get better cyber monitoring. So this is really something that we'll see evolve more and more in the future.
We've already talked a bit about the government response across the world to the threat of cyber attacks. I wonder if you can talk a bit to the corporate response to these type of threats. What are you hearing on the ground about how big corporations are responding to the increase in threats?
That's a very interesting question because, you know, when you think about the past couple of years, you know, there was a pandemic, supply chain issues, you know, there's inflation concerns, many geopolitical concerns as well, but still KPMG pulled 500 CEOs last year, and 18% of them said that their greatest risk was the cyber risk, even, you know, considering the current situation and sort of economic environment we're in. And I think that really demonstrates how important it is for them to just go and spend money specifically on cyber protection. But there's also regulations that are, you know, making, I would say, cyber security and cyber issues more costly. If you look at GDPR, so the regulation that came in place a couple years ago, now you can have 4% of your revenue as a fine if you get cyber attacks and if your data gets, you know, or your customer's data gets compromised. So this is, again, something that pushes companies to really have cyber protection in place. And also in terms of cyber spending forecasts, they are forecasted to exceed $1.75 trillion accumulated over the next 5 years. So that's a big portion of revenue that will just fall into the hands of those companies that are providing cybersecurity protection, not just from a subscription standpoint, but also maintenance, having the software updated quite often to really ensure that cyber protection.
It's clearly a huge problem and some equally huge numbers in terms of how much will be spent to try and combat it. Finally, Ode, this is obviously a field with a wealth of specialist terms and buzzwords. Are there any that have caught your eye recently or that you think might be useful for our listeners to know about?
There's one that I really like, and it's not necessarily recent, but I think it summarizes what cyber threat is. It's zero day. Zero day, what it means is that if you have a software that has any type of vulnerability, the hacker will automatically go and exploit it to just compromise your data. So you basically have zero day to protect yourself. And this is why it's very important to not just have the reaction, but also the prevention against cyber attacks.
Thanks so much, Ode. There's a lot to think about there. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.
Copyright 2021, Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.